lots of people had stories about travel over the Christmas period. What a mess. Still, I had flights that were canceled over the Christmas period. It was a mess, and it was infuriating, and you could get no information. You could get no rebooking. It was just like, nah, you're not going. We'll figure it out in a couple of weeks. Have the airlines figured it out? And it's not just the airlines. Let's keep that in mind. There have also been staffing issues with other support systems, everywhere from baggage handling to security, to, you know, the government, the cost, all that kind of stuff. There's been a ton of areas that have been challenged, to put it mildly. But I'm not hearing as many disaster stories. Are you? Are people getting where they're supposed to be? Is it now just the standard, oh, the airline screwed me kind of stories, the ones we've always heard over the years? So let's check in with John Gradick. He's a program coordinator, lecturer, supply chain logistics and operations management out of McGill University. And there's no doubt that the logistics, the management, maybe some supply chain, all of that has sort of entered into this conversation about the troubles we've been having with flying. So John's joining us this morning. Hey, John, how are you? Nice to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So is it all rosy? Is it all rosy and happiness and smiles and unicorns and everything else now?
It's everybody holding their breath, waiting for the shoe to fall. It's going to, it's quiet. It's not too bad. I think that there's been some adjustments by airlines to kind of reorganize their schedules and try to minimize the potential for disruption over the last few weeks. So it's quiet on the home front, but I'm not holding my breath.
Well, and
I think that we're just, the calm is before the storm.
Well, and that's sort of what it was last fall, because I remember last fall and heading into Christmas, and people were talking about, oh, geez, should I travel? So, and we were saying at the time, and I remember these conversations, not necessarily you and I, but me and other people, that everything seemed okay, it seems calm, everything seems to be working well, it's fine. I guess that when there's any kind of adversity that hits, that's where, you know, that delicate balancing act gets thrown out of whack.
And it really is a balancing act. I characterize it like an orchestra. You know, I think that everybody has to be playing the same tune at the same beat at the same time. And I think that, you know, we've had situations over the last 7 or 8 months where it's been, you know, chaos. And the one thing that really is sticking out to me as an issue that we really haven't done a good job of is basically communication with our, between the aviation industry and Canadian travelers. I think that, you know, we've seen situations where people were sitting on airplanes for 12 hours. We've seen people wait days before they figure out what the next flight's going to be from a canceled flight. Go on a phone line, go to a call center, call them up. You know, what do you get? Nothing. And I think that, you know, it really is, you know, the industry seems to have put customer service on the back burner. Everybody's really anxious to get people to fly. Lots of money, fares are high, lots of traffic out there, lots of capacity. And when things go bump in the night, and when there is a a burp in the system, whether it's weather, whether it's operational, you know, the system kind of falls apart.
Well, you know, from my own experience, when our flights got canceled, well, WestJet had canceled them, but there are other airlines that were also had some trouble. Boy, WestJet really got a PR nightmare out of that whole thing. But when it happened, then that's what was infuriating. It was the entire, complete, and utter lack of communication. And in fact, even an inability to cancel a return flight from a place that I wasn't able to go. So I couldn't even do that through this different system. So it was absolutely infuriating. Is that message getting through? Or is it,
no.
is it a lack of staff? Is it a lack of will? What do you think?
I'm looking at it and I'm trying to figure out like what's gone downhill in the last 3 or 4 years to cause this lack of customer focus on the part of the airlines. You know, and the root cause is it's probably still, you know, going to boil down to staff. I think that, you know, the question has been, is there a corporate will? Are the senior leaders in the aviation industry and the airline, I'll point the airlines out, you know, are they really taking customer service seriously? And, you know, I think that, you know, we've seen too many examples over Christmas holidays as an example, whether it's WestJet, Sunwing, Flair, Air Canada, you know, where they basically said our job is basically to get the airplanes flying, to get, you know, bums in seats, and we'll try to put as many as we can in the air. But, you know, don't call us. We'll call you when it comes to a rebooking or a change in your flight plan. So it's not really something that the airlines really have as a priority. And, you know, it's either numbers of staff or the quality of the individuals that are doing those communications. It's just not there.
Well, and as I said, your logistics and operations, this has been a logistical nightmare in some cases, because the airlines are not alone in some of the challenges, especially staffing challenges. There are other layers to the transportation industry. How much responsibility do those other layers bear?
Oh, I think there is a shared responsibility, but I'm not gonna throw the yoke off the backs of the airlines. The airlines are driving demand. The airlines are putting passengers into airports. The airlines are bringing bags into the system because they sold you on a flight. And it seems to be that, you know, they're putting 10 pounds of potatoes into a 2-pound bag, and it doesn't work. And I think that's what's happening. The airlines have been very, very greedy in terms of getting traffic back. They really want to fill those airplanes as much as they possibly can, get those airplanes flying. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of passengers hanging around, around airports, and the airports just aren't ready to handle that volume of passengers that the airlines are putting out there. So it really is root cause, to me, at least. It's really a question of there's too much demand for infrastructure, and there's not enough infrastructure, including people, to support the demands that are being created by the airlines.
So how do we get the people back? Where do the people go? Where are they coming back? Can you get them back? What's the red tape to get them back?
That's the big issue. You know, I think that, you know, right now we've got, you know, a million jobs still outstanding in the service industry in Canada. People have left. Transportation and, you know, the whole service industry, hospitality industry, has got a reputation for low wages, hard work, and really people are looking for alternatives. And people have found alternatives as a result of things like work from home and hybrid working and all kinds of different modes of work. And I think, you know, the industry has got to reposition itself, rebrand itself, you know, as an industry that has a career. And I think that, you know, probably the starting point of all that is probably going to be wages, that we've got to really make these jobs whole jobs that have an income level that people find of interest, and working conditions are of interest. So the industry has got to do a makeover in terms of what it's offering to their potential employees. And I think, you know, that's a big, big challenge for them.
Well, and the way it works with airlines, too, is you can have crews in different cities. And so it is how much they're getting paid for certain things, or are they getting paid to come back? So it was a fairly one-sided sort of pay scale that it's always been. And I guess there were a bunch of people who just finally realized, you know what, the glamour of working a flight, for example, is not worth the abuse that comes with it.
And I think, you know, that was a long time coming, that realization. Has been a long time coming. I think that, you know, you've got a number of new carriers showing up in the Canadian aviation, the ultra low cost carriers, and, you know, the working conditions associated with those jobs and the pay associated with being a ultra low cost carrier. Yeah, they're looking for hundreds of flight attendants and pilots, but, you know, you're being paid less than a cocktail waitress or a truck driver. And you're saying, you know, I'm home every night being a waitress or being a driver, and I'm not home 3 or 4 days a week being a flight attendant or being a pilot. And I think that's where, you know, people are saying they're trading off lifestyle, and they're trading off being at home and being able to, you know, to have a family and have a life. To basically saying that the airline industry is just not the right cut for them.
I know you didn't want to let the yoke of responsibility fall off the airlines, but I want you to address this because I sort of understand. Maybe I'm just overly sympathetic. Whoever thought I'd say that? But Lisa says people like to complain about the airlines, but it's a miracle they can afford to stay viable. Their margins are small. The planes are expensive. The crews are trained. Operating costs are high. Fuel costs are high. And yet people want a ticket to cost the price of a Greyhound bus ticket. It's ridiculous. Are we unrealistic in our expectations, John?
Well, you know, we are the product of our own desires in terms of travel. I think people in Canada want competition. They want, you know, everywhere I go, I talk to people and say, bring on the American carriers. We want competition in Canada. We want carrier supply between Edmonton and U.S. carrier supply between Edmonton and Toronto or Edmonton and Vancouver. Not going to happen. And, you know, carriers basically are very fickle when it comes to making money. And, you know, guys like Flair and Lynx these days, I look at them, I look at the fares and how much they're getting after they pay all the taxes and everything else. They're getting people on an airplane and they're not even covering the cost of fuel. Forget the cost of the airplane. Forget the cost of staff. They're not even covering the cost of fuel. But that's what the price that they're charging in the marketplace. And that's the price that Canadians will only pay to fly. So Canadians really have been conditioned to some low fares. And unfortunately, that will probably lead to the demise of one or two of those ULCCs, those carriers, in the next little while.
And I got to tell you, and I know that it's a privileged position that I would rather pay some more. You know, shouldn't everybody be able to fly at some point? Sure, absolutely. And so it's got to be affordable for as many people as possible. But if I don't know that I'm going to get to where I'm going to be, I don't care what the price is. If I don't get the thing I'm buying at the end of the day, or it is changed into a milk run that drives me nuts and leaves me in an airport overnight, that's not what I'm paying. So, yeah, I personally wouldn't mind paying more if there was a guarantee that you're going to do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, and I think that's we're coming to that realization now. I think we've got to a point now in Canadian travel where, you know, we consider air travel to be a commodity. It's like getting on a bus. And I think that's where, you know, we've long lost the glamour of aviation. We've long lost the fact that, you know, this is a privileged way of traveling from Edmonton to Toronto. But it's the only way to get from Edmonton to Toronto, you know. And, you know, you're not going to drive. It's going to take you 3 or 4 days to drive there. So, you know, air transportation in Canada is a necessity. And I think that, you know, we've got to the point where there has to be a price to be paid to provide that necessity. And I think we're way below that price today in the marketplace.
Right. John, thanks so much for your time. Good chatting with you about this. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day. Take care.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.